Well, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord be to all of you this day. In his name, amen. Our theme today is You Are Secure in Christ, and it'll be based on the epistle reading that Sam shared with us earlier from Romans chapter 8. I brought with me an item this morning. Letha, do you recognize that? Yeah. Well, I want you to think about this. This reminds me of a cartoon character. Okay? Those of you who like to read cartoons, can you think of who this might be from? Lioness, right. And what was the problem with Lioness? He always felt like he was insecure. And so what did he have to make things secure? But he carried around his blanket every single day. You know, things don't change often in life. During the wintertime, my wife and I, we sit, and when we're watching television, we get our little blankets out, and we cover ourselves up, and we feel secure and warm in them. She always does the Broncos, and I do the Rockies. And I think she's a little more secure with the Broncos than she is, than I am with the Rockies. But yes, Lioness carried his little blanket with him wherever he went. And the reason for that was because that blanket supplied Lioness with security. You know, there are a lot of people that run around in the world today looking to be secure. A lot of people think that the government is here to keep us secure from terrorists, for example. And that's where they find their security. Then there are others who have their trust in their investments or their skills that they have or the intellect that they possess to keep them secure. Secure from poverty, secure from danger, or maybe some kind of disaster. And my question for you this morning as we gather together here is, where do you find your security? You know, there are some people that are born optimists. They always believe things will somehow work out. Those kind of people sometimes don't pay much attention to the facts that are going on around them, but they continually hold that everything is going to be fine. The problem is that none of the places that they oftentimes put their trust really offer real security for us and a lasting security. But I'm here to share with you this morning that we have a place where we can go. And that place is, of course, God Himself. It is God who offers us that real security. You know, when Paul wrote that epistle reading today, his hopefulness was based rather on some solid facts which he had validated in his own personal experiences. He found great security in the love of God that God had showed to him, and he knew that no matter what happened to him, his salvation was very secure in Christ Jesus as Lord. He couldn't mess that up, and he couldn't do anything to make Christ stop loving him. And I'm here today to remind us all that it's true for us in our lives also. You know, it's often been said that it's not what you know that matters, but who you know. Well, my question to you again this morning, who's in your corner? Who are your allies that are helping you? For us as Christians, we have one answer, and that answer, of course, is God. If God is for us, which was part of the passage today, I would rather put it this way. Since God is for us, because he is on our side. How many of you like courtroom dramas? Raise your hand. Okay, there's a few. Hands. Law and Order? Okay. How about CSI? You know, there's about 10 different versions, I think, of that out on television. Yeah, they're courtroom dramas, but I'm here to present to you today the greatest courtroom drama that you will ever hear about. The scene is going to be God's courtroom. The judge is Jesus. Guess who the defendants are? It's us. Okay? The first witness to take the stand is the law. Amazingly enough, my initials are law, but it's not me. It is God's law. God's law will take the stand and testifies, "Judge, I think it's obvious that the defendant has done so many things that I clearly said one should not do. There's lust and greed and gambling and grumbling. And don't even get me started on pride. Not only was the forbidden done, but the things that I command were left undone. The defendant did none of what I said that should be done. Not loving others, not giving generously, gladly hearing your word. There were literally millions of violations. The defendant, us, it is clear that we are guilty." The judge, Jesus, asks us, "Is this true?" And our conscience says, "Yes, because I have to plead guilty to all those charges." Then in the courtroom, next steps up death. And death takes the stand. "Judge, you know what the wage of sin is. You yourself have said that the soul that sins should die. So the sentence is obvious." And then quickly Satan hurries to his feet. "The defendant spent so much time following me, listening to me, and serving me that it is clear this sinner belongs in hell." The case appears airtight. All the evidence is clearly against us. Death and hell are our certain fate. But then, rather than pounding the gavel on the stand there, the judge comes down. And he gets up from behind his bench and he walks around to your side. He will serve now as your defense attorney. And he says, "Yes, my client has failed to live a perfect life of love. But I have done that in this sinner's place. Yes, my client has sinned, but I have paid for that sin with my life. My client may deserve hell. That's true. But I've already paid the penalty of hell that he deserves." And then he goes back to the bench. He pounds the gavel and he says, "I find the defendant innocent of all charges. Case dismissed." And then we hear these words from the epistle. "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. No one can bring any accusation against us. We are innocent before God. Heaven itself is our sure reward, and that is what brings us true and lasting security today." There's a story told about how the devil approached Martin Luther one time to accuse him. He presented Luther with a long list of sins, which he was guilty. And when he had finished, you can imagine Luther, and he said this, "Think a little harder, you must have forgotten some." The devil thought a little more, and he added even more sins to the list. And when the devil was done listing all that he could think of, Luther simply said, "That's fine. Now, write across that list in red ink, 'The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son cleanses us from all sin. And guess what? There was nothing that the devil could say in response to that. No one can accuse us either, my dear friends. The devil has nothing on us. The law no longer holds us under its boot. Why? Because it is the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanses us from all sin. And that we can be sure of. That we are secure in Christ. You know, there are some people that just simply say, heaven is mine. And that's good and all. But what does that have to do with our life right here and now? They think that Christianity is a religion for the hereafter with nothing to do with the here and now. But I'm here to tell you today that could be nothing further from the truth. We are secure for eternity because there is no possible accusation against us. But we are also secure right here and right now because there is no possible separation from the love that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, to be very honest, God does not promise that everything in this life will be pleasant and fun. Right, Roger? And several others of you who gathered here today, you've gone through a lot of experiences, maybe health issues. Quite the contrary. Life here on earth can sometimes involve suffering. Suffering is assumed when Paul asks these questions. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or the sword? And then he quotes from Psalm 44, verse 22, to show that these things should be expected. As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That sounds pretty depressing. But Paul goes on to say in our epistle reading, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor the powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Literally, my friends, we are super conquerors. We conquer and then some. But why? It's not because of our own strength. It's not because of our own abilities, but it is through Him who loved us, because nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what type of personal tragedies that we might have come into our lives, whether it be sickness or some kind of disease, or perhaps there are financial struggles going on or disasters, maybe it's terrorists, or out there are crooks. Maybe it's our own stupid mistakes. No matter what, nothing can dissolve the bond of love that God has created with us. For God is always right there with us. He's upholding us, especially through those difficult times. And that is where our real security comes from. It's absolutely certain. There's no question that we have it. And that's why Paul didn't say, well, I think maybe, or I sure hope that. But he said, I know, I am sure. And we who are gathered here today can be certain of that also. Several years ago, one of the astronauts who walked on the moon was interviewed, and he was asked, what did you think about as you stood on the moon and you looked back at the Earth? And the astronaut replied, I remember how the spacecraft was built by the lowest bidder. That didn't exactly give him security or inspire confidence. But we as Christians can rejoice that the work of salvation, it didn't go to the lowest bidder, but it was secured once and for all, and it remains secure right now, and always will remain secure by the omnipotent God who won it and he kept it for us. Our salvation is sure. It is as sure as the architect, the builder, the defender of that salvation, the Almighty God. And this security that we have every day changes the way we live. We live in freedom. Why? Because we have that certain promise that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. We can live and we can be bold and courageous as we live for our Lord. You know, during the first part of the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, how many of you have been across that bridge? So the first time that I went across, I was terrified. I remember going across, laying down on the back seat of the car that I was in, praying, "Dad, break the speed limit. Get us across this thing." It was scary. Well, when that bridge was being built, back in the early 1900s, there were no safety devices that were used. And 23 men fell to their death from that bridge. And so for the last part of the project, a large net, and it cost about $100,000. And in those days, that was a lot of money. That net was put up and it was used. And at least 10 men fell into it, and their lives were saved because of that net. And there was an interesting sidelight that came out of this whole episode. The fact that 25% more work was accomplished when those men were assured of their safety. They did a better job. They weren't spending their time thinking about how insecure things were. My friends, we are secure. We are safe in Christ. And now it's time for us to get to work. What does that work mean? It means that we are to share the good news of Jesus Christ, both in our words, and more importantly for the people of today, in the actions that they see from us. We need to get to work on that message, knowing that we're no longer serving him in fear, but we are serving our Lord because we are secure in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it is in his precious name today that we give thanks and we give glory and we rejoice in that security. And God's people in joy and happiness responded with a loud and wondrous Amen. And now to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his precious name, Amen.